This podcast is brought to you by Joy sponsor Pam Ann.
Hello, Melbourne. It's Pam Ann here. I'm so excited. I'm going to be touching down at the Comedy Theatre in August. See you soon. I love you, Melbourne. Mwah.
Set to land in Melbourne this August for two hilarious shows, Friday, August 24 and Saturday, August 25. Get your tickets now at ticketmaster.com.au.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
The Commonwealth Games has come to an end, and while many focused on the closing ceremony, or lack of closing ceremony, Ian Muchmore chose to focus his attention in a different way after reporting from the Gold Coast for The Informer. This year's Commonwealth Games has been hailed as the most inclusive event our nation has ever hosted, from the staff, the crowd, and the spaces filled with diversity. Ian speaks with Matt Hall from Pride House as he looks at LGBTIQA+ inclusivity in the 2018 Commonwealth Games.
It's the last day of the Commonwealth Games on the Gold Coast. It's almost 8 o'clock on a beautifully sunny, almost perfect Queensland Sunday morning. We've just seen the end of the wheelchair marathon, and coming up we have the women's marathon and the men's marathon. The message from the Commonwealth Games has been about inclusion and participation. And I'm doing my bit. I'm taking part in a fun run, the Gold Run, in about half an hour, where we run for 5 kilometres. There are about 6,000 participants. We've seen lesbian, gay, trans, bi and intersex participants in the Commonwealth Games. We've heard from the Games organisers that inclusion and diversity and equality is a central part of these Games. And we've also heard from current and former athletes about how being out affects their performance. We've also heard the concerns that homosexuality is still illegal in 36 Commonwealth countries, and that somehow the messages from the Commonwealth Games might be able to make a difference. On the last day of the Games, I'm asking, what difference has the Commonwealth Games made for LGBTI people?
Oh, I think it's given Pride House an opportunity to shine the light on LGBTI human rights. And as a community, we've looked at the LGBTI human rights of the Commonwealth, which aren't that impressive when you consider that 37 of 53 countries still criminalise homosexuality.
There's been quite a lot of controversy about Lauren. Have you heard?
No, I haven't heard any.
Oh, you haven't heard any controversy? No. Lauren's a transgender woman.
Okay.
The rules say quite clearly that she can compete, but some people have a problem with that. What do you think?
I don't have an issue with it. If the rules are saying that she's allowed to be there, then she's allowed to be there. She has every right to be there.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, if the rules say she's allowed to compete, why should she not be allowed to?
Gold Coast has had an opportunity to shine the light on LGBTI human rights issues, with 37 of the 53 countries in the Commonwealth still criminalising homosexuality. But from a more local perspective, I just think it's great that the Gold Coast was the first place in Australia to host a Pride House. We had daily events and we've had exhibitions and we've had panels and we've had opportunities to just talk about LGBTI community issues and, most importantly, raise awareness and education about the LGBTIQ community.
What were the highlights of Pride House for you, Matt?
The highlights of Pride House would have to be the numerous visitors that we've come through that would a high ranking, as in we had the CEO of the Commonwealth Games Federation, David Grevenberg, at our launch and really speak passionately about LGBTI human rights.
We spoke to him.
Yes, and we had a Minister for Sport from the Scottish Government come through as well, and it was a pleasure showing her around. And Scotland has hosted a Pride House. Mm-hmm. We had a member of the Canadian government come through and talk about Canada hosting a Pride House. We've had Sam Coffer, who's the president of the Australian Commonwealth Games Federation. We've had Tom Daly come through. He was in yesterday, and it's been a pleasure.
Tell us about Tom and Lance coming through yesterday. What happened? What was the engagement?
What happened yesterday was I was down on the door and Tom Daly's mother had come and spoken to me because we had a pride flag flying in the window, and she asked what it's all about, and I was able to describe to her what Pride House is and she'd heard of Pride House before, coming from the UK. And she said that her son, who I would probably recognise as a famous Olympic LGBTI diver, is Tom Daly. And she invited him to, and his husband, to come and pop their head in and say hello. So Tom and his husband, Dustin Lance Black, both came over yesterday afternoon. They posed downstairs for a few moments with various paraphernalia advertising LGBTI Commonwealth. They were delightful. They poked their head upstairs and then went off to the diving finals. And then I believe they returned after they'd finished at the diving finals with their whole group of their friends.
Good on you.
We had Matthew Mitchum as well. Uh-huh. Matthew attended three events. Yeah, it was a pleasure that everyone came through that visited. We had straight people that came through that weren't aware of LGBTI issues, that felt that they'd had their education and awareness increased by visiting the site. But it was really having the VIPs, I think, come through and the traction that they get on social media. Mm. It was phenomenal. Our media reach, traditional and social media, have gone through the roof. We've had a far phenomenally wider reach and traction than what we ever would have predicted.
That was Ian Muchamore reporting from the Commonwealth Games and speaking to Matt Hall from Pride House.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.